What's up, punks, trenchies, and death clowns? The following is part of an 8-episode series examining the trans allegory of Lisa Frankenstein. Be sure you've watched the movie first. I will not be held responsible for you being spoiled otherwise. Okay, let's go! Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Visions Couldn't Getcha in the Unintentionally Intentional Trans Allegory of Lisa Frankenstein, Part 6. Finally, transition begins, and it brings with it a whole new set of problems to deal with. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, someone I actually... Oh no, I didn't change this one. I forgot.
Well, that's okay.
A lady who'd never be a problem I wouldn't want to deal with. Yeah.
There it is.
Susan Bridges.
Thank you. Yes. Hello.
And yet again, our returning guest is the irreproachable Kent Eigengra. Welcome back, Kent.
Hi there. All these intros for me are so fancy.
I'm trying. It's really hard when there's so many of them.
But the one for me you did right away, see? That's what professional writers do, kids. They come up with stuff right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Improv.
Heed me now or forever be doomed. Ye need parts 1 through 5 and episodes 134 to 138 before ye be diving into this part 6. I avast!
Wow.
Excellent.
Yes. 37 minutes, 7 seconds. She put the guy back into the closet, but the next day, he's still there. Closeting yourself doesn't make the truth go away, actually. Lisa wants to get dressed, and closeted Frank tries to hand her a black dress of taffies. Hey, Lisa, transition. I'm right here. Lisa, quote, it's not really my style. Frank tosses her a hat and the lacy black dress. The hat has a flower on it. Do you remember Frank giving a flower to a lady in the opening credits animation and what it stood for?
Oh, my word, yeah.
What did it stand for? I forgot.
Okay, so in the opening credit animation.
Yes, I don't remember the flower thing.
Right, there was Frank and the lady was Lisa, right? This was her first attempt at transition. And so when Frank gave her the flower.
She was accepting.
She was accepting Frank. As her truth. And then she gave it back, right, when the stuff with her mom happened. And so here, Frank is giving her the flower again. Let's try this again, Lisa. 37 minutes, 45 seconds. Lisa heads to school in the clothes Frank picked for her, and she looks great, and it's very gothy, right? And gothic things are emblematic of death, like we've talked about a few times already, and death is synonymous with change. The end of one thing so that something new can begin. She's never dressed like this before. Something has changed. She's the furthest into transition that she's ever been. And look how suddenly the entire world around her is filled with danger. The red in the school is everywhere. This is exactly what cis society is like for trans people, especially when we first come out and experience the world as our true selves. Also, the school mascot is the opossum. And what are they most well known for? Playing dead. This is society mocking Lisa, mocking trans people for existing in public as our true selves. You're just playing. You're pretending to be a man, Lisa. We all know you're really a woman. It is genius in the film and effing awful in the real world. And remember, again, that this school is in Brookview. You'll never escape the water and you'll be surrounded by danger. Congrats on your transition, Lisa. Everyone stares at her. She seems a bit embarrassed, but then tries to own it. Cis people absolutely do this when they can't instantly decide what gender they think you are, by the way. Listen to episode 78 on Stop Staring at Us, Trans People Are Human Beings.
Yes, very, very many instances of just like waiting in line at a restaurant and somebody clocking and just being like unable
Yeah.
to look anywhere else. Many, many a times at the salon or barber shop as well, where that is just like to the point where like for a while I've just been cutting my own hair because I just can't deal with it.
Yeah,
But
it's awful. And I've had such weird things happen with it. Like one time it happened in the grocery store, and this dude was staring at me as he walked past, and he turned around to walk backwards so he could keep staring at me. There was one time this old dude, I was driving in a car and stopped at a red light, and this old dude was staring at me from the sidewalk, and he almost stepped out into the street and got run over, and his wife had to stop him because he wasn't paying any attention to the traffic. He was staring at me driving my car. And it was just, it's like, I don't care if you can't figure out what gender I am. Did nobody teach you how rude that is to
I just,
stare at
that is the
people?
thing that I do not understand.
Right?
Like,
Yeah.
growing up in the Midwest with manners drilled into me
Yeah.
until they're just second nature.
There's a lot of problems with the Midwest, but not staring at people, that's a good thing that we were taught.
We
I don't know.
were.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like I've heard horror stories about people being followed around department stores. I've
Yeah.
heard like when I would like not pass as well and go into stores and try to buy like neckties and things, like people would come up to me and be like, "Are you in the right section?" Not even employees, just like other
What?
customers. Yeah. And I'm like,
Oh.
"Yeah, no, I'm here." And they're just like, "Are you buying that for someone?" I'm like, "No, this is for me." I'm just
Mind
like,
your own business,
right? That's the
people.
thing. Mind your business.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, trans men, I think early on do get a bit more of a pass to go into the men's section and to thrift stores and like buy men's clothes just because like women have been allowed to wear pants, but
Yeah.
it's so much more difficult, I would imagine, to try and buy like a dress or a skirt
Oh,
early
yeah.
on.
It's the first thing I ever bought that was women's clothing was a hoodie for running, like an athletic hoodie. And I was so scared to do it that I went to Target at like 8 a.m., right when they opened. There was nobody there. And like, you can't even tell when I'm wearing this that it's a woman's hoodie, right? But I knew it was, and that meant a lot to me. But like, I was walking up to it, and I kept looking around me like I was going to be attacked, or I was going to be jailed or thrown out for being what they perceived to be a man walking through the women's clothing section. And I was so terrified. I felt like the floor was going to swallow me whole or something.
And
It
it's just
was.
bizarre. It's like, are women the only ones allowed to buy women's clothing?
But
Are
that's what
men the only
society
ones allowed?
teaches you to think, right? And
But
so,
this reminds, okay, this is the thing it reminds me of.
yeah.
When I was a kid, this is gonna sound stupid. I went to the grocery store,
Okay.
and like my mom was having me buy things at the grocery store. Like I was just to learn to drive,
Yeah.
and I was able to drive on my own.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't have like one of those discount cards.
Okay.
And she's like, well, just get one. And so I tried, and I wasn't 18, and so they wouldn't let me get one.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I told my mom, and I'm like, well, they said I couldn't get one because I'm not 18. And she just snaps off, ask them how old you have to be to buy groceries. I went back and that's what I did. And they gave me the card.
Wow.
So that's what I think of. Like, oh, is there some rule that says I can't buy this?
That's really funny.
So I think of that sometimes with this sort of situation where I'm just like, anyone can buy this and you're not minding your business. So
Yeah.
go away.
Yeah. Well, back to the movie. Lisa's at school and she's uncomfortable and everything is weird and different. And let's look at some of those lyrics to Lip Like Sugar by Echo and the Bunnymen, which is playing during this segment. She'll be my mirror, reflect what I am, loser and winner, the king of Siam, and my Siamese twin alone in the river, mirror kisses, mirror kisses. Now, it is very unfortunate that an offensive term like Siamese twin is in the lyrics. The 80s were a mess. But that really does read like dealing with another version of yourself that you're trying to accept, huh? Huh. 38 minutes, 11 seconds. The audiobook Janet's listening to is actually calling her out on everything she is not, but it's what she thinks she is,
I love that.
right?
This whole clip.
Transphobes don't hate trans people, they just want us to conform for our own good, don't you know? Frank comes down the stairs. He won't remain closeted.
I love that you accidentally said, "Don't you know?"
Don't you know?
That's Midwestern.
It is. 38 minutes, 30 seconds. Look at the sheet Janet lifts up. Look at her leotard. Do you see those colors? They match the walls of the house. It's all dysphoria and gender conformity. This isn't a welcoming place for Frank. 39 minutes. Frank spots the piano and heads for it. Creativity, create, self-expression, make me real, let me feel. 40 minutes, 5 seconds. What does Lisa's true self, her inner man, think of Janet, the literal dysphoria mommy? We're gonna drop a worm in her food.
This entire scene is just so bizarre
It's bananas.
and bananas.
It's like you're cheering, but you're also just like laughing and
Yes.
uncontrollably so. And it's
Yeah.
again, that physical performance is just like he just understood the assignment of just it's
Right.
so goofy
I
and
still think of the way that
so.
he like specifically jerks and moves and bends when he drops that worm in her food. And you're like, what is happening? And he's convulsing. Oh, it's so
It's
good.
like a cat that's having a problem.
Yes.
That is true. But I also feel like this is a scene that an executive would have said, we could cut this. We don't need this. But yet, I don't know. There's something really interesting about seeing Janet in her element, feeling like she's doing everything right.
Well, there's a great moment with that. Yeah,
We'll get
it's
there.
this part. No, it's right here. 40 minutes, 27 seconds. Confirming what I said about Janet's audiobook, it says, quote, "You will instinctively know when something is off as she mixes her cottage cheese without noticing the new addition until it's in her mouth and she pulls it out in disgust." 40 minutes, 49 seconds. The red lockers, the dysphoria, gender conformity, and despair flyers, and the dysphoria backpack. Just starting transition doesn't make it all go away. 41 minutes. Michael drops by to say he cut class and wants to know if Lisa has any notes. She tries to play it cool, like she was also planning to cut class, but has some notes, but her notes are super extensive. She is not conforming to what other people at the school do, and she is performing the femininity they expect to see. This exact metaphor was used in Real Genius, which I talked about starting in episode 103, which is also an intentional trans allegory to show a person not conforming to the cheating that society expects of us. Also, look at how Michael's clothes have changed, and he's now all dysphoria in danger. Now that Lisa's dipped her toe into being her true self, something in her is setting off alarm bells about the guy she thought she wanted to be like. 41 minutes, 15 seconds. The same girl in red passes by twice. She literally walks between Lisa and Michael and the camera twice. Is this an accident because there were a lot of extras and nobody noticed? Maybe, but it was a choice to use shots that make it appear that she passes by twice when editing. Maybe, just maybe, it's Lisa picking up on the heightened danger around her. And it's the same direction, by the way. She doesn't like go from right to left and then turn around and come back. She goes right to left, and then a second later, she goes right to left again.
Very matrix coded as well.
Right? 41 minutes, 23 seconds. Michael, you're kind of absurd, aren't you? This is what the cis think of our false gender performance. Stop playing possum. 41 minutes, 40 seconds. When Taffy tries to get rid of Michael, no punks, trenchies, or death clowns. What a line. He replies, Oscar Wilde said, to define is to limit. Hypocritical cis people drive me bananas. This is something you see in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, which we discussed starting in episode 81 and is a real world thing that happens. We absorb all these aphorisms from society about how we should be ourselves and break out of the box, and you can be anything you want to be until you say, okay, I'm trans, and then society has a collective shit fit. Susan and I actually wrote a very intentional trans allegory about this very phenomena in the Witching Season comic anthology that funded on Kickstarter. There is a link to it in the show notes. 42 minutes, 8 seconds, and 42 minutes, 17 seconds. The same woman in a green-blue dysphoria outfit is seen over Taffy's shoulder. First, when Taffy asks if Lisa will cover for her when she goes out after cheerleading practice, and then when Taffy talks about how overprotective their dad is and she lists his controlling behavior of wanting to know where she is and when she'll be back.
That always struck me as a weird line. I was a bit like,
Right?
okay, I'm gonna raise my eyebrow at that a little bit.
Well, is this again because there were too many extras to track? Or do you think, even if the same extra they intentionally clothed in the color that's their metaphor for gender dysphoria walked by in two different shots that didn't line up with how she was walking, they kept it in for a reason? Could be accident, could be intentional. Either way, they chose to keep those shots in the final cut of the movie. 42 minutes, 49 seconds. Frank wants his body modifications to feel whole, and look at what his hand stump has been covered with. Dysphoria. The missing part of his body is causing dysphoria, and between them, a poster for the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Frank she wants to be, born out of transitioning, away from dysphoria. 42 minutes, 57 seconds, Lisa. I can't just get you new parts. I mean, you're a dead man, not a Chrysler LeBaron.
It's
so
too.
Specific. The model of car is so specific, and that's what makes it hilarious.
It is.
Yeah. The man inside is dead and not complete with the body he has. Lisa, I want to help you, but I don't know how. Janet comes home and Frank runs for the closet. Lisa, damn it, Janet. That's a quote from and reference to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is famously gender bendy. Frank barely makes it back in the closet before Janet comes in dressed in a nurse's uniform, somewhat reminiscent of Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a symbol of everything wrong with people who abuse their power and corrupt bureaucracies. A pointed reference. Lisa says she thought Janet was in Milwaukee. Basically, I thought it was safe to let out my inner man and explore who he is because you were gone and I was alone. Janet blames Lisa for the worm in her food. Technically her fault, yes, but not dangerous. An inconvenience that you find gross.
I mean, it's pretty gross.
It's gross. Like Agent Smith hating the smell of humans in The Matrix. See my book Begin Transmission in episode 26 of this show. And Hathaway hating the smell of popcorn in Real Genius. See episodes 103 to 106. The way we inconvenience cis people is more important to them than us living authentic lives free of pain. 44 minutes, 15 seconds. While comparing herself to a literal angel, note that Janet suddenly uses two gendered insults for Lisa. There is nothing wrong with sex workers doing the job by choice. Let's be sex positive here. But that doesn't change the way the word and even the association is weaponized against all women and perceived women, akin to the way transphobic society often treats trans men as quote-unquote confused lesbians, just women who don't know what they're doing. Have you had to run into that at all, Kent?
I mean, earlier on, like in school, like definitely there was people that was using lesbian as kind of an insult. I think that definitely came up. A lot of people not really knowing where I fell on like the queer rainbow, if you would. So yeah. there was a lot of like not really knowing how to ask or what to ask, that a lot of awkwardness came up. As I said, a close friend of mine once told me that I dressed like a gay man, and that was meant to be a compliment, but it was also kind of a joke. And that's sort of how I ended up taking it, of like, and just sort of sat with that, like, was this nice? Was this, I guess? And so I just sort of accepted that. I think that a lot more of the aggressively gendered kind of language, like, I guess when I was older and like getting catcalled and things, that was sort of, I think, darker parts of memory of being kind of like hyper gendered by other people. And yeah. I think that was probably worse. But yeah, there's so much of that early on with the confusion about, like, is this person a butch lesbian or is this person something else? And do I need to be scared or extra scared of this person is kind of, I think, a lot of the response.
Yeah. Well, those are clearly the only two options. So
I think there's a lot of cis people who just really desperately want to find the box that you do belong in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, also, this falls under not your business.
It sure does.
Like, yeah. That's why I tend to use queer, because it's not your business.
Right.
I don't want to tell you what, I don't even want to describe my sexuality. It's very boring to me.
It doesn't always make sense or map onto the easy to, like, I refer to myself as a bisexual, But if I'm really splitting hairs, it's more like omnisexuality, where the gender is sort of an interesting factor to add on to the person I'm attracted to, but it's not the only thing I'm looking for. It's
Right.
like that sort of thing is more of like something on top of the person
Right.
versus just sort of like the all-encompassing, like one or the other, or just one, or what have you. But yeah, it's not convenient to tell people or explain to people like, oh, I'm omnisexual or I'm pansexual. It's just easier to say bisexual and just sort of
Right.
let that
Yeah.
happen.
And there's plenty of backlash to that term too.
Well, we shouldn't have
Yes.
to explain anything about that to people. Like, it's none of your business. So,
Exactly. It,
are you looking
queer.
to date me? If you're not, it's none of your
It,
business.
yeah, precisely. It's sort of queer is sort of a nice umbrella term. I'm glad that
Yeah.
we've done a lot of work to reclaim it and things
Yeah, yeah.
because
Agreed.
it's very useful and it's very apt for a lot of people because it's you don't have to fit into the boxes. You don't have to completely define yourself. Rigid structure is something that trans people have already gone and been like, no, I reject this. So
Yeah.
you mentioned Rocky Horror. There's a
Yeah.
lot of that going on in Rocky Horror as well, as far
Right.
as like, speaking of Frankenstein adaptations,
Oh,
Rocky
yeah.
Horror, the whole thing about Frankenstein, a man creating life, and that coming up again and again and again here is very interesting, very trans friendly as far as a metaphor of like gender transgression and boundary transgression and just sort of that whole thing. It's very apt for the queer sort of space.
Yeah. And I want to make sure also that I call out that the gendering of the insults that Janet threw at Lisa is important. It's Janet saying, "You are a girl, Lisa, one who I will subjugate and oppress. Do not forget it." 44 minutes, 30 seconds. Lisa, I didn't want to go to a new school my senior year. I didn't want to leave the town that I lived in my whole life. But she had to because her mom reacted so badly to Lisa's truth. Maybe the whole town did too. Trans people often have to flee to places that are safer for us. See Trans Kids 2, Trans Flight and the Intake Exam in episode 128. And in the past, we were even forced to hide ourselves even after receiving transition care. See Trans Medicalism in WPATH version 1 in episode 60. Janet, you were lucky to get out of there. Meaning what? Lisa might have been killed for who she was? I'm sure people were talking. Oh, Janet's heard the rumors. It's why she's using gendered insults here. Or maybe you liked being a hot topic. You're just doing it for the attention. Nobody is really trans. Maybe it was the first time anyone ever looked at you. People saw you and hated you, Lisa. Lisa tells her to shut up, and Janet slaps her. Physical violence for trans people not conforming, a sad reality for many of us. Janet then tells Lisa she's being admitted to Serenity Manor, a name listed as the definition of irony in the dictionary. Mental institutions for trans people, here we are again. Janet, where a disturbed person like you belongs. And then Frank knocks her the hell out. Her inner dude is not putting up with that, except this is a horror movie, so she's actually dead. And remember that every kill in this movie is a rejection of the type of person Lisa slash Frank doesn't want to be. This woman, and in fact, all of the ultra femininity that she represents, have been rejected for good.
Yeah, I like that he kills her too with the sewing machine,
Yes.
which is very specific.
It is.
I love it too because, yeah, that's also gendered.
Well, here we go.
I know,
It's
I know.
right there.
But
I'm
also,
about to read it.
like my sewing machine, I could definitely kill a person.
Oh,
Yes,
yes. Yeah,
you
they're
could.
heavy. They're very heavy.
It's incredibly heavy.
Was that a threat?
No, not to you, to others.
Okay.
I'm just letting other people know
Gotcha.
that I have a sewing machine, and it happens to be very close to the front door a lot of the time.
Okay.
Okay.
45 minutes, 27 seconds. Look at that sewing machine, a tool usually associated with quote unquote women's work, covered in gender conformity, dysphoria, and danger.
Yeah, stickers.
And used to get rid of Janet. Frank drops it. We're going to reject those things too. 46 minutes, 20 seconds. Janet's got red shoes, is wrapped in a red blanket in a red wagon, and is dumped into a grave. We're removing ourselves from that danger, burying it, and it allows us to move closer to our true selves and makes us more whole, as you'll see in a second.
Do you think the red shoes are like Wicked Witch a little bit?
Maybe the ruby slippers.
Yeah.
But she just, well.
On the witch. The
yeah,
witch
maybe.
Dead.
I mean, Wizard of Oz is also very queer slash trans.
Wow.
So.
It's very popular amongst the queers.
Well, 46 minutes, 50 seconds. Lisa, is it peaceful down there? Frank shakes his head no. Lisa smiles. Why should our literal tormentors who abuse us be allowed more peace than they allow us? Why is it fine for JKR, see the essay on TERFs at
TillyTransTuesday.com,
be allowed to use her billions to strip our rights away, but the second we say that that's bigoted and awful of her, we are made into the villains. Calling her a transphobe is so much worse than her actual transphobia to so many cis people, and that ain't right.
I await some obituaries with relish.
I mean, she lives in a literal mold castle, so.
Mold castle, yes.
I have no empathy for her. None.
47 minutes, 5 seconds. Lisa sews the ear onto Frank, and look how the light has changed. There's still danger, but the eye windows have turned blue, which we know is a metaphor for despair, but when they're next to the pink walls, it takes on a new meaning, transness. Frank's new ear has Janet's earring in it. You can be a gender nonconforming man, she tells herself, but it is not functional. Lisa, maybe it could just be for looks. She can wear a packer if it makes her feel more whole, even if it doesn't have any functionality. And for those of you who don't know, a packer is a prosthetic penis and testicles that trans masks can situate in their undies to possibly lessen their gender dysphoria.
We're an educational podcast.
We are.
Yes, there's lots of different kinds as well for various functions and usability. So that's
you're
a
not
do your
all
own research.
Simply,
they're not all just for looks.
Yes.
Yes.
Lisa then relates it to her cousin, Carlene, who got a boob job because cis people get gender-affirming healthcare too, like I talked about in episode 22. A breast enhancement is only about looks. Fake boobies, which are totally fine if you want them, but no one should be made to feel like they need them, don't serve any other function. But hold up, because Carlene derives from Carl, which derives from Charles, which means man. The perceived man got a boob job, and their name is now the feminine version of man, so woman. It sure sounds like Lisa has a cousin who's a trans woman. With the drawing of a lightning bolt, Frank tells her he needs electricity to make his body work better. Remember the electric zap the first time Lisa was in the HRT hut, and when the lightning struck and brought Frank to life, he's asking for hormones. 48 minutes, 11 seconds. Lisa takes him to the tanning shed, the path still one of danger, dysphoria, and gender conformity. But perhaps what hurt her before, trying to conform to being a woman, will help her now, trying to conform to being a man. We already saw her mom's earring on Frank's new ear, so we know she's going to be a gender nonconforming trans man to some degree. But parts of who she really is might also find that what society says men should be is what she wants, and that's okay too. Maybe like having a beard or a deeper voice, things that gender-affirming medical care can give you with HRT. Lisa's wearing a tiara and holding a magic wand. How many trans people have said hormones are literally magic? So many of us. Also, if your body is too low on both estrogen and testosterone, did you know that you will have less energy? You will feel lethargic and tired all the time. Even having the wrong hormone in your body can make you feel like shit. Ask me how I know. But the right hormone will literally energize you.
Can confirm as well.
Yeah. 48 minutes, 25 seconds. The tanning bed opens, dysphoria light everywhere. She awakens Frank by tapping him with the magic wand, which is extra funny considering what's in her closet, the magic wand vibrator. And his new ear works. 49 minutes, 8 seconds. Lisa comes in dressed in red and black, a change, a transition that she loves. When she's in red, remember, it means love and not danger. There is a 25 shadow on the wall behind Lisa from the light outside coming through above the door, all of the address that can be seen. Again, meanings vary in metaphor and numerology, but there seems to be a consensus around it meaning things like personal growth, inner wisdom, and major life changes. Huh. 49 minutes, 31 seconds. Taffy, you look deadly. So transy, Lisa. What have I been telling you?
Don't... If you look deadly, complimentary.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't tell Mom I said this, but it's actually kind of nice not having her in town. Yeah, because gender conformity hurts cis people too, even the arch feminine. 50 minutes, 15 seconds. Lisa, what happened to your neck? Taffy's got a hickey but makes excuses. Why is Lisa calling it out here? We already know since we've seen the movie, but remember Michael's shirt from the last time Lisa talked to him? Danger and dysphoria. Head on by the Jesus and Mary chain plays. Here's some lyrics. As soon as I get my head round you, I come around catching sparks off you. I get an electric charge from you. That secondhand living, it just won't do. And the way I feel tonight, oh, I could die and I wouldn't mind. And there's something going on inside. As transition songs go, regardless of the song's original intent, this one's screaming full speed ahead.
Yeah, that's a very particular one. I was just nodding along, like, yep,
Yep.
okay, there it is.
Like, sometimes you're like, somebody who wrote this song, very trans, or even an egg, because sometimes you're just wondering because they're so transy.
The music choices are quite good in this movie. Really,
Yes, the
really excellent.
soundtrack's very fun, very 80s, very
Yes.
fun.
Yes.
51 minutes, 15 seconds. Lisa leaves a lipstick kiss on a note. Who's it for? Not who you think. It reads, "Hi, I've been thinking about you a lot. Meet me at Papoose Lake at 4 p.m. Yes or no? Love, Lisa S." So, what is a papoose? It comes from the Narragansett word papoose, which means child, but it's also come to be used for the baby carrier some Native Americans use where the baby is swaddled up inside. There is a photo of one in the text version of this episode at
TillyStrandsTuesday.com.
Remember when Lisa wrapped herself up in her bedsheets to look like that? Remember the poster for the mummy on her bedroom wall? And now Papoose Lake? This is foreshadowing everything. We will refer back to this at the end.
Although I thought about kiddo, it's like a callback. Kiddo.
What about kiddo?
Like that she was called kiddo
Right?
by Doug.
By Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
and by
thought.
her mom too.
And by
Kiddo's
her
been like
mom.
a, yeah. No, that's
Yeah.
been throughout. Yeah, there's something there. Like, I mean, just Frankenstein in general is like, there's a lot of metaphor about motherhood going on throughout the original text. Like, it was written right after Mary Shelley had dealt with a miscarriage. And that's why she was like going to the summer house where she wrote Frankenstein, was to heal from that. And so that was kind of on her mind while she was writing the story. And of course, the story goes off on like long, long diatribes about a man creating life, creating new life. And there's a lot of talk about, oh, it's a man playing God, but it's also a man playing at motherhood.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that in there. And Susan, you said you've been reading it.
Yeah.
So the portion of the story when it goes to the monster's perspective, he sort of talks about Victor Frankenstein like a father figure a lot of times. And then that eventually switches to a godlike figure and then sort of more of a tormentor by the end of
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
So it's very interesting that, especially in this adaptation, there's a lot of like commentary on like the mom suddenly going from nurturing to like not accepting to
Yeah.
this other person entirely kind of stepping in as the mother figure of I don't even recognize this person anymore to tormentor that I want to be rid of is very interesting. And just also trans men and motherhood is a very complex
Sure.
idea anyways. Trans men can get pregnant.
Yep.
Seahorse dads do exist. And it's not something that everybody in my community is willing to do or is able to do, but
Yeah.
those of them that do carry their own children, it's incredible to me. That is something that is a power that I don't think I could deal with myself. I don't think that that's something that I would necessarily be comfortable with doing, but it is possible. All the
Yeah.
talk about hormones making you sterilized is not entirely true. You can go
Yep.
off of your hormones for a while and still get pregnant. There's ways of freezing your
Yeah.
eggs beforehand. You can donate your eggs ahead of time. Like there's lots of ways for you to still have bio children. And honestly, it's not necessary. You can always foster and adopt too. There's lots of people that still need
Yeah.
a roof over their head that you can care for. So there's
It is
ways.
also, I'm glad that you brought that up too, because I remember when Roe fell, how mad I was because they kept talking about it as women's rights and a women's issue. And I was like, there are trans men and non-binary people with uteruses who also need abortion care, and you are forgetting them in this fight, and it's just as important to them. And that made me so mad.
That is a particularly difficult and touchy
Yeah.
subject because there's one camp that's saying, no, we do need to shut up and just let them have this because it'll only complicate things. It'll only make it harder of a fight to win. And then there's other people that are like, no, we've been erased and forgotten about for so long. We need to stand up and shout along with everybody.
Yeah.
Like I was part of the women's marches, like in college, and I was also chanting my body, my choice, because that was something that applied to me. It was
Absolutely.
bizarre to the people around me that I was doing that. I definitely got sideways looks, but it was something that applied to me. So I felt I should be chanting along with that. It's
Yeah.
instead of the her body, her choice, which was the call and response for the cis men. I felt that I should be chanting along with the cis women in that crowd because it applied to me.
Yeah. Although when you think about it, my body, my choice
It
should
applies to
apply to
everybody,
absolutely everybody.
exactly, because it's
Absolutely
about bodily
everybody.
autonomy. That is
Yes,
the
exactly.
argument in its totality. They are related, abortion care and feminine health, and all of that is all tied together with gender affirming care and the
Yep.
trans struggle and the queer struggle and all of that.
Yeah.
Everything
It's all one fight.
intersects. Yes.
Yep. 51 minutes, 24 seconds. Lisa does her nails with whiteout. If she's going to conform to gendered expectations, she'll do it in a way you didn't think she would. 51 minutes, 53 seconds. Someone circled yes on the note. He'll meet with her. But who? 52 minutes, 2 seconds. Lisa's on the bench alone, the same one we saw Frank on in the opening credits animation. 51 minutes, 19 seconds. It's Doug. I freaking hate Doug. What the heck is
Yes.
he doing here? 52 minutes, 40 seconds. Doug says he's never heard her talk this much. Lisa, I suppose I never thought I had much to contribute, but I feel much more extroverted lately. See confidence in episode 31 and confidence 2 into the unknown, aka what is happening, aka a whole new world at
TillysTransTuesdays.com
for a direct connection to how this changes with transition. 52 minutes, 52 seconds. She's taken Doug to Bachelor's Grove, the place where her true self was walled off from the world, her heart. Why would she let this creep in here? 53 minutes, 15 seconds. Doug, it's not Christian for a graveyard to be left like this. Oh, but it's Christian to force unwanted sexual contact on someone. Is it Doug?
Doug, this is another character, especially in this scene. It's just like, of course you're that boy. Of
Right?
course.
53 minutes, 42 seconds. Lisa, I want you to touch me exactly the way you touched me at the party. Doug, oh, I knew you wanted it. Barf, barf, barf. 53 minutes, 54 seconds. Frank pops up from under the leaves to take care of this problem. Lisa knees Doug in the face. I freaking hate Doug. This is very satisfying. 54 minutes, 14 seconds. Frank chops off Doug's hand. Lisa raises it in triumph. Frank flings the axe and kills Doug. Bye, Doug. We freaking hated you. You won't be missed.
That was a
Remember,
good throw, too.
it's a really good throw. And remember that kills are metaphors for rejection. She will not, she will never be this kind of dude. Thanks for being here, Kent.
Yeah.
Come back next week as transition progresses further than ever before and sadly reveals a new level of betrayal from those we love. Tilly Bridges, end transmissions. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.